Two brothers went away to college. The one brother became a smart, frugal farmer, and the other brother, a brilliant, shrewd, wealthy lawyer. The lawyer brother visited the farmer brother on the farm and said, "What are you doing here? You haven't made anything out of your life." He said, "Look at me. I'm an important person on Wall Street. I'm an investor in the stock market. I have clients who are millionaires. And here you are stuck out here on a farm." He said, "What's the difference between you and I?" I'll finish that story at the end of my message. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. The title of my message tonight is "Pride Goeth Before Destruction." Pride goeth before destruction. One of the quickest ways to be destroyed is to be a person of pride. And even though I don't know most of you young people, I don't want to see any of you destroyed because of pride. And so I'm going to preach a message tonight on pride. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. Proverbs 16, 18. The Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this camp. And I thank you for the tremendous message that we heard this morning on choices. Thank you for Brother Sam and the effort he put into that and the way you used it in all of our hearts. Now, Lord, we come back again tonight and we ask that you would bless your word as it's preached. Lord, this is a subject that I believe can make or break these teenagers and all of us. I pray that your word would have free course and that you would give me liberty as I preach and power and that you'd convict hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In our text, God promises us that we will be destroyed by pride. Now, friend, he promises us that. I haven't found anywhere in the scriptures where God has broken a promise. It's going to get you. It's going to get you. It is a law. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's a law, just like you reap what you sow. Just like gravity, just like the wages of sin is death. And whenever you see someone destroyed spiritually, in most cases, the root cause was pride. Ugly, stinking, naked, wicked pride. I'm tired of seeing Bible-believing preachers get too big for their britches and be brought down ultimately by the sin of pride. And my friend, if it can get some called of God, dedicated man of God, if it can bring him down, who do you think you are? Pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. That's a verse to highlight, underline, do something to it, memorize it. The word haughty means arrogant. It means having a high opinion of oneself. And I'm concerned that it's very easy for a teenager to adopt the attitude of wicked pride. Brazen pride. Nobody can help you when you're full of pride. Nobody can teach you anything. Nobody can keep you off of Satan's roads when you're following your pride. One of my favorite hymns in the hymn book is "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and get this, and pour contempt on all my pride." That's what we need to do. We need to hate our pride. Pride is a sin that comes at us through the back door. Pride is a sin that if we're not careful, we will consider it a sophisticated kind of sin. Pride has been called the only disease that makes everyone else sick except the person who has it. And I hope that our pride tonight will make us sick of ourselves to the point where we'll want to be right in this crucial area. Take your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Again, the word pride in the Bible means to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Romans chapter 12. Deal with pride tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. It seems to me that what God will do with His choice servants is He'll take you through a season of humbling. And He'll use different circumstances. He'll use different people. He'll use the Word of God. And I just want to explain what it's like before it comes in your life. It's God just trying to bring you down so that He can lift you up. And that season's not the same length of time for everyone, but you'll know when you're there. Your Heavenly Father's taking you through a season of humbling. How do you view yourself tonight? Do you view yourself as a good Christian? You shouldn't. I'm not a good Christian. I've got so far to go. Now again, there's no open sin. To my knowledge, there's nothing that known between me and my Savior. But what I'm saying is I know at the end of the day what I am. I know me. And any good thing that God does with me or through me is because of His grace. I want to give you some quotes on what they thought of themselves. Some of God's choicest servants. John Wesley said this about looking into his own heart. I see nothing but hell. John Wesley. John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. What a man of God. Boy, what a good Christian. He didn't think so. Listen to what he said about himself. When I saw John Bunyan as God saw John Bunyan, I did not say I was a sinner. I said that I was sin from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. How do you think of yourself tonight, friend? Apostle Paul said, I am the least of all apostles. He said, I'm the least of all saints. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. There's something wrong in the heart of a young person tonight. If you think about yourself, I'm so talented. Man, if you are, praise God for it. Use it for God. But don't let it puff you up. I'm so good looking, you might say. Now, none of you young men have anything to worry about tonight. Believe me, you're ugly. Amen. You think I'm so accomplished. I'm really something in church. Or this thought. What are they going to do without me? Me! Proud of your education, maybe. Proud of your opportunities in life. You better watch out. Because God makes a promise. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is the tree on which the fruit of many other sins grow. Let me explain what I mean. A person will miss church because they don't think that they need the message that's going to be preached that day, and it's pride. A person will use unfiltered internet or internet without any accountability, and they'll say, I can handle it. That's pride. person will gossip because they feel they've got a right to say what they want. It's pride. A person will fornicate because they feel like they deserve that pleasure. That's pride. You'll get up in the morning and skip your personal devotions without God's help and guidance for the day. You don't need it. Pride. Christian girl will dress immodestly. Nobody, the preacher nor God, is going to tell me how to dress. Pride. A Christian looks down on another Christian who doesn't have their standards or knowledge of the Bible. All the sins that I just named are children of the same Father, pride. And pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. What can we learn tonight about pride here at camp? Number one, pride is satanic. It is satanic. Now, this is scary, but it is satanic. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Pride is not just sinful. It is satanic. Isaiah chapter 14, this passage teaches us about the fall of Satan. How it all started. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. The Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Satan is real. According to the Bible, Satan got to the point where he wanted to be like God. Pride. Now, what was the result? He was cast down from heaven. What direction is that? From heaven to where he was cast to? Down. Proving once again that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It, young person, it always brings you south, never north. Pride. When we're prideful, we're dabbling with the same sin that made Satan fall. And so you need to think differently about your pride. You need to view it as something that is satanic in origin. We like to call it confidence, but God calls it satanic haughtiness. And when you're proud, Satan is there. Now, it's not a sin to be confident. Man, you ought to be confident in the things of the Lord. In fact, some who are right with God and are confident may be accused of being prideful. But the difference is when somebody's full of pride, their confidence is in self. And when someone has the confidence of the Lord, their confidence is in God, and that will make you confident. From the beginning of time, though, Satan's motto has been, "I want it my way." And I'm preaching to the young person tonight who in their heart, they're saying, "I want it my way. I want to do what I want to do." You're falling into the same trap of Satan. He said that too. "I want it my way." The pride of Satan brought him down. Pride also causes us, like Satan, to look at people with contempt. How does the devil view us? He hates us. What was the sin that made him fall? Pride. Pride will turn you into the type of person who has an unholy contempt for other people. And instead of reaching out to other people, like Satan, you'll become a means of their destruction as well as your own. To be prideful, it's to act like the devil. Secondly, pride always wants to be seen. It always wants to be seen. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. The Pharisees would pray where they could be easiest seen. It was a show to them. They wanted to be seen. That was their goal. Pride always wants to put on a show. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. The Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be" what? "Seen of men." That's their goal. They want to be seen. Pride always screams, "Look at me." Now, you may not say it with words, but pride always looks for a way to say, "Look at me." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Turn to Matthew chapter 23. You see, prideful people work real hard at looking good instead of being good. And there's a big difference. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 5. "But all their works they do for to be seen of men." That's why they do it. "They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." When I was in Israel and saw the Orthodox Jews there at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall there, they had those big robes on, long beards, dragging the beard on the ground, and they got the little thing on their forehead. They have the broad phylacteries. Well, listen, what are they doing? Basically the same thing young people try to do when they dress in order to be seen. When they have a certain hairstyle in order to be seen. Young person, if your parents don't want you to wear it, don't have a bad attitude. Don't try to sneak around. Anytime you feel like you're not being recognized as you should be, put that thought away. You're falling into pride. John the Baptist, who was mightily used of God, understood this when he said in John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Young person, you look right up here at me. You might not know this, but we're nothing. We're nothing. When weightlifters want to strengthen their legs, there's no exercise that competes with the squat. You put weight on your shoulders and you go up and down, up and down, up and down in order to build strength in your legs. In the same way, most of us don't go low enough in our Christian experience. And because we don't go low enough, I remember my coach when I was doing squats, "Go lower, go lower." What was he trying to do? Build more strength for one of his basketball players. You're not growing stronger if you won't go lower. Go lower. Let God humble you. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride draws attention to itself. I'm preaching on a sin of the heart tonight. This isn't always one of those things that can be seen outwardly. But it's the sin of the heart, the sins of the heart, that will cause the outward things to fail at last. Pride says, "Look at me. Look at me." Pride is satanic. Pride draws attention to self. Number three, pride is the sin least detected. It is the sin least detected. Germs that can cause your death are many times undetected until it's too late. Undetected by the naked eye. In the same way, generally we don't see pride until it's got us. And we find ourselves destroyed. How's God going to show that germ to you so that you can see it? You let him take the microscope of his word tonight. And you have the type of heart that says, "God, search me. Search my heart.
Show me if I have a heart of pride. I might can't see it. I might can't see it, Lord, but you can. Don't trust yourself.
Spurgeon said this, none have more pride than those who dream that they don't. You may labor against vainglory until you conceive that you are humble, and the fond conceit of your humility will prove to be pride in full bloom. Pride is a sin with a thousand lives. It seems impossible to kill it. What's he talking about? He's talking about false humility. He's talking about you being proud of the fact that you think you're humble. And how that is pride in and of itself. And I'm saying to you, it's not always easy to see it. And that's why you've got to go to God like David of old, who said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You want to pray that kind of prayer tonight, young person. Why? Because God promises that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's satanic. It wants to be seen. It is the sin least detected. And then forth, pride makes a fool out of you. It makes a fool out of you. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Pride makes a fool out of you. Romans chapter 1, verse number 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In context, it's talking about people who are God deniers. But pride always makes a fool. Whoa, whoa. That bee was prideful. And pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before fall. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. I love it when the Lord gives you illustrations like that while you're preaching. Well, before I was preaching at a camp last week that we took our kids to, and I preached a message entitled One More Night with the Frogs. And that was when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, when shall I entreat the Lord that the frogs go away? And Pharaoh stupidly said, tomorrow. Why on earth would you say tomorrow? I'm not going to go off into the message. But as I was sitting that morning studying for the message, a frog jumped by me, and I captured it and used it as an illustration. You should have seen those girls when I threw the frog out in the audience. Well, that bee went away. It fell. Proverbs chapter 14. Pride will make a royal fool out of you. What do you have to be proud of? Before we read the verse, I'll say what I heard my pastor say many, many times. You get this, young person. The people that are the most prideful are the people that in reality have the least to be proud about. And why is that so? Because pride makes a fool out of you and out of me. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but in the lips of the wise, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Pastors, what right do you have to call me a fool? Me or the Bible? Me or the Holy Spirit? Me or God? Okay? The mouth of the foolish in your mouth is a rod of pride. Pride makes a fool out of you. A lady one day came to her pastor and said, Pastor, I'm struggling with the sin and I'm really convicted by it and I need to get it off my shoulders. This sin has been messing with me. I can't shake it. He said, well, what's the sin? She said, it's the sin of pride, Pastor. Well, what do you mean by the sin of pride? She said, well, I sat before the mirror for an hour before church the other day admiring my beauty. And thinking to myself, I'm the prettiest woman in the church. The pastor looked at her and said, ma'am, that's not the sin of pride. That's the sin of imagination. Pride makes a fool out of us. Sin makes you stupid. Pride makes you real stupid. It does. And you leaders know what I'm, you'll understand what I'm about to say, but when people are filled with pride, it's as if they have a neon sign. They can't see it, but there's a neon sign on their forehead. Pride. And if only they could see it, you could avoid sudden destruction. Because it's a law. What goes up is going to come down. And if you have pride, you will be destroyed. If you're filled with pride, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Psalm 144. Many Christians think that they deserve God's favor. You wouldn't say it with words, but your attitude may be, man, when you saved me, Lord, you got a good catch. And you really got something when you saved me. But I tell you what, it's verses like this that we're about to look at right now that just, man, that just have a way of breaking that hard heart of pride and bringing you back to God's reality. Look at Psalm 144, verse number 3. Lord, what is man that thou take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou make account of him? What was man made out of in the book of Genesis? The dust of the ground. You know what we really are? What this body is made of? Now, I know we have an eternal soul, and that is precious. But this body, you know what we really are? Dignified dirt. In fact, every living person is worth about $4.57. You see, when this body dies and decomposes, and your components return to dirt, the value of all of those things is about $4.57. That's why you shouldn't think so highly of yourself. When you get inside of a new car someday and drive it, that's $4.57 driving that car. You have this brand new house that you move into someday, that's $4.57 living inside of that house. Man, I like to look sharp on Sundays. I wear a nice suit. I just got a couple of new suits. And I look in the mirror and, man, the devil says, man, you're the cat's meow. But the reality is that's $4.57 wearing that new suit. In fact, if you've got $5 in the bank, you have more money in the bank than you're worth. We need to come down is what I'm saying tonight. We need to come down. Every one of us, we need to come down. Then God can bring us up. Man, there was a time when the preaching of the Bible would stir your heart. And now sometimes you sit there as a young person and you wouldn't say it with words, but you say it in your heart. Come on, preacher, you just try. You know, when somebody's up preaching the word of God, don't blow bubbles. No, I'm not going to be mean or hard or cruel, but let me just say that doesn't honor the word of God when it's being preached. It's disrespectful to the word of God. Blowing bubbles. Man of God has preached, has studied a message, has begged God for strength and power to help you. And man, the preaching used to stir your heart. Others can't even come to you and talk to you about your problems without you bristling up on the inside and saying, who does he think he is? Who does that pastor's wife think she is? That's your pastor's wife. And pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. You don't trust your pastor? Why do you have a pastor? You know, pride will stop you from going to your pastor for counsel and major decisions. And you young people, believe it or not, you're coming up on some major decisions. You're looking at a preacher tonight who's glad that for every major decision, I sat down with my preacher and he didn't make the call. But I went to him and said, here's a decision I'm thinking about. What's the wisdom of it? And I'm glad he gave me something to take back to my prayer closet. I don't have all the answers and neither do you. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before fall. Some may end up divorced someday because you know better. Some of you may grow up and have kids and those kids go to Satan because you had a better plan. Pride makes a fool out of you. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's satanic. It wants to be seen. It's the sin least detected. It makes a fool out of you. But praise God, pride can be defeated. There's hope. Pride can be defeated. Number one, how can we defeat it? Get a bunch of verses on pride and read them often. If you're a person that's prone to pride, and that's a lot of us tonight, get yourself a lot of verses about pride and read them often. I went through the book of Proverbs in one of my Bibles, and I highlighted every verse in the book of Proverbs on pride, and I highlighted it the color blue. And all over the book of Proverbs, as I would skim through Proverbs, I'd see blue verses. And I read those verses. Sometimes I just get up in the morning and just say, I'm just going to read the blue verses. And those verses would help me work on my pride. Read them often. Number two, put a stop to flattery. Now, I know we like to kid and joke, but there are some very strict warnings in the book of Proverbs and in other parts of the Word of God about flattery. Flattery. Flattery is like throwing a match on somebody's pride, and we need to be careful. Turn to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. I won't belabor this, but I will show you that sometimes we think flattery is a harmless thing. And nobody likes to joke and kid like I do at times. I like to have a good time. I tend to be more serious in the pulpit. It's just my nature. But I do like to joke around and have a good time. But the Bible has some warnings about flattery, and we do well to heed them. Psalm chapter 12, verse number 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips. With a double heart do they speak. Flattering lips. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Do you see the connection there in verse 3 between flattering lips and pride? Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. I think we need a reminder every once in a while about the sin of flattery. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 19. I don't believe that these verses are saying that you can't compliment someone on a job well done, but we just need to be careful, lest we cause them to be prideful. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. We want to have victory over pride. We're going to get some verses about pride. We're going to be careful about flattery. Proverbs 29, verse number 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then number 3, we want to have victory over pride. Look at Christ's example of humility. Man, this should have been number 1. Look at Christ. Say, I struggle, I fall, I don't know how to be humble. Well, just take a look at your Savior. You'll see humility incarnate. Amen. He came as the son of a carpenter. Man, what kind of house did he live in? The Bible says the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. How big was his house? What was the square footage of his house? Didn't have a place to lay his head. What did he look like? What was his looks like? Isaiah said he hath no form or comeliness. Oh, what was his reputation among men? Oh, the book of Philippians says that he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of reputation. Well, how about his superiority? He's God the Son. Yes, he is. But he said, I am among you as he that serveth. But what about his awesome abilities? He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. Amen. Man, you struggling with pride? Look to Christ. Tonight, what about his will? I know there's some strong-willed teenagers here. He said, I seek not mine own will. Man, you got a problem with pride tonight? Be more like the Master. Be more like the Master. How do I get there? Get low in your own eyes. Start serving.
Start serving like Jesus did. It'll take care of a lot of that pride. Two brothers went away to college. One brother was a wealthy, hotshot, brilliant lawyer. The other one was a farmer. The lawyer brother visited the farmer and said, "I can't believe you've not made anything of yourself. Look at you. Stuck on this farm. Look where I am. I am on Wall Street. I have clients who are millionaires. I'm an investor in the stock market. And here you are, stuck out on the farm. What's the difference between me and you?" The farmer brother finally broke his silence. He pointed out to his wheat field. He said, "Brother, you'll see two types of wheat out there. You'll see wheat that's standing up straight. In the head of that wheat, it's empty. It's useless. It's just there. But you'll also see some other wheat that's bent over. That's because its head is full of wheat. It has purpose and meaning." Some Christians are standing up straight. Now, I'm not talking about physical posture. I think you ought to have good posture. But some Christians on the inside are standing up too straight, and it's because there's nothing in the head. And maybe some lowly Christian, God's getting a hold of your heart, and in soul, you're a little bent down. That's good, because God's saying you're full of the wheat of His wisdom. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for ministering to us through your word. And I just pray that somehow, some way, maybe just one teenager could hear this message tonight and say, "I needed it. It was for me. It stepped on my toes, but I needed it." Maybe one teenager would make a decision tonight, Lord, to seek victory over pride and avoid destruction. Lord, it'll be worth it. Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.